Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello and welcome to Two Words Wolves Pod. I'm Ryan Eichten, and with me tonight is Leo Sun. Leo, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Not going to trauma dump for our listeners. Been kind of a rough day for me today, but I'm hanging in there. All I'll say is that life comes at you quickly. So if you have a pet, please give them a hug. Value your time. I'm happy to be talking basketball, though, here with you, Ryan. We have a lot of fun stuff going on. I'm excited to get into all of it. It's been a couple weeks since you and I met together. I know you were in Vegas, and now you're back. And I'm excited to hear your experience here and to share it with everyone.
Yeah, Vegas was fun. Kind of if you're following me on socials, I'm sure you are if you're listening to this, but yeah, got to meet with the new ownership group. Or are they new? Like, they've been here for 4 years now, but officially new ownership group. And then went to the game, the summer league game out in Vegas on Saturday. Was sitting in the first row of that media row. It doesn't take an eagle eye to spot me sitting behind half my family seemingly sent me the video of the kid getting a signature from Ant, and I'm just sitting there behind in the background behind Na and Nas. So fun game. Another fantastic
Ryan,
TJ dunk right in front of me.
That wasn't you in the Jamal Murray jersey, was it? You weren't getting the signature, right? It was someone else.
No, although Ant had a funny moment there as he's walking off, the kid that is. One of the other fans goes, "Hey, that's a Nuggets fan," like saying, why'd you sign that? He's like, "That's okay, I've been busting their ass anyway." It's like,
classic,
he was doing
dude.
That classic. He was doing that the entire game. I tweeted out, like, Rocco had a nice dump off pass for a layup for someone else, and he goes, "Great pass, Rocco, fucking dime, Rocco." Like, Ant was doing that, and I'm sure he does it on the court, but we can't necessarily always hear it. Like, he's just, Ant is insane.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's like, he would be the guy for sure. It's like, no filter. Like, you can't find me for cussing right now. Like, you know, I'm going to get them all off right now while I can.
Yeah. So it was fun. 2 days in Vegas is plenty. Enjoyed my time, but it was hot. Oh, boy. It was got close to 110, and the person checking me in at the arena said it was cooler the day I was there than the two prior. So I was like, okay, I'll stick with the 90 degrees and humid out here, I guess. It's better than 110. Oof.
Yeah, I certainly don't miss going to summer league. I've gone quite a few times pre-COVID, but every time, yeah, there's no way to escape it. I mean, if you're not in the heat outside, the dry heat, you're in the humid heat inside with all the sweaty bodies and people packing into the seats, and you know, a bunch of players sweating it up, running off their body heat everywhere. So yeah, don't envy them. I'm glad you made it out alive though.
Exactly. Well, we'll start off talking some of the summer league stuff. I know for me, I'm not a huge like prospect guy, but for the Wolves, they have a lot of like guys that'll be certainly on the roster and a few that'll be in the rotation. Even I don't know if there's many summer league teams out there that have, by my count, 2.5 or 3 people that'll be in the rotation, and that's not even including their first round pick. So those are the type of guys I like to talk about. So first one for that is Rob Dillingham. It's been an up and down summer league for him. So howl or foul, Leo, Rob Dillingham is showing some significant improvement so far.
I'm going to come with a little bit of guarded pessimism here. I'm still going to say foul for this, that Rob is showing significant improvement so far. Now, I certainly believe there's things he's improved on. I think for sure he's looking a lot more confident. I feel like the issue for me is that the coaching staff has said this, both, you know, Chris Finch and also Kevin Hansen, as the summer league head coach for the Wolves, is that they want him to go north-south a little bit more and less east-west. And I feel like he's doing just a little bit too much dancing out there. And the last game against the Denver Nuggets, I think he was only credited with just, I think it was like four turnovers or three turnovers. Not as many turnovers, but there were at least three or four times where he was kind of dribbling into a crowd and he like would pretty much lose the ball, but someone would either dive in to save it or he kind of go scrambling, kind of scoop it back up and kind of put himself in a tough spot. And so, you know, I would like him to see him improve in that area a little bit more because I think that's really what the coaching staff is looking for. They're looking for him to be able to make quicker decisions, go faster. And when he was going fast off the catch or just like in transition, usually it's yielding a really fruitful play. Like, I want to see that development a little bit more, as well as his physicality. I think there's still times his finishing at the rim, that's left me wanting more from him as well, too. I know that was an issue that kind of hampered him last season. Like, oh, he's a rookie. He's 19 years old. He's still just, you know, really skinny. And yes, he's put on some more weight, but I still see that when he's going up for these two-point shot attempts, he's kind of trying to quick shot the defender that kind of rotates over instead of like, okay, you're slight, and yes, you don't want to get injured in summer league, but like there's opportunities for you to draw fouls by like leaning into the defender, like using your weight in your favor of like, hey, look, if you're going to crash into him and you go fine, it's to look very realistic, like a Trae Young, you know, something like that, as opposed to, okay, well, let me just try and get around them and try and finesse it in. So, you know, sure, yeah, you're a little, but learn how to draw fouls a little bit more. And so for me, I'm saying foul because I feel like there's still a lot of room for him that I would like to see significant improvement on. What about you, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm going to go Howell mostly for maybe like the mental stuff, I think, has improved for him. I know like just not playing was tough on him this last year and certainly understand that. And we don't need to relitigate the how much guys are playing past the top eight or whatever, but I don't think Rob was really ready for that role, at least like defensively. And I think this year, Dane asked him a good question about, like you mentioned, the turnovers. He had 7 in that first game, and I will note on those turnovers, I thought the statistician made the rest correct call, but it was like a lot of them were Leonard Miller's fault, either cutting at the wrong time or not. Like I thought the 7, I don't think he was as bad as like the 7 turnovers pointed out. But Dane asked him a cool question, like, what do you do to fix that? Or what do you do to improve that? Because, like, if you're missing shots, you go put up some more shots or you practice shooting. And Rob had a good answer about you go into the film room, you locate, like, should I have done something different on that play? And then the next time you encounter that play, you're able to make a better play. So
yeah,
that's the type of stuff I'd like to see him. I thought the defense has been fine in summer league, and I don't think you can really glean. I mean, obviously, if someone's just awful, that's going to stand out. But like, there aren't like there's not much to take away defensively from a summer league game. The biggest thing for me with Rob is scoring in the paint, and really just 2-point shots in general. It's tough for him at his size. You see him take a lot of these like falling away layups above bigger defenders and they don't always go in. And like the first game, like I said, with the 7 turnovers didn't bother me. If you watch them back, they're not as painful as it might have seemed. But 1 of 8 shooting in that game from 2-point range, and it wasn't much better in the second game. And so like they're just going to need him to get into the paint and score. Every player has to be able to do that, because I don't think the defense at his size is always going to be like Mike Conley is like the defensive ceiling for that type of player, where you're always going to have limitations. And so if he's not able to get in the paint and he's just more like a spot up shooter, he's just not going to be a valuable enough player.
Right.
So I think that's something to watch for. I think it's too soon to like start worrying about Rob, especially when you like hear from the coaches or the front office, like they're very, still very high on him. And him being able to contribute not just in the future, but this year, and just given the rotation, they're going to need him to produce at some level.
Yeah, I think he's definitely getting to that point where we talk about him getting to the paint, getting paint touches. He's using his speed, I think, a lot more effectively this summer league to get his teammates involved, whether it's, you know, freeing up open, you know, looks or just, you know, collapsing defense. I think he's doing a lot better reading that. But I think that next level for him now is like, okay, well, when you're going to the paint, like, use your speed to create an advantage, not just for your teams, but also for yourself. Like if your defender's chasing you, I mean, maybe you don't have to Trae Young jump backwards into them, but get them leaning the wrong way. And then if you lean right back into them, like they're calling those fouls. I'm not saying he has to become Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or something like that. But even you look at guys like Tyrese Haliburton, like they use their they're taller than him and they're longer than him, but they still use their frame to kind of push off and to get those calls because, again, they are a little bit slighter, such as him. So, you know, again, yeah, I'm not pressing the panic button at all, but I definitely do wish to see a little bit more from him moving forward. We still have two more games at least. So.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And I do remember last year, I think he had his best summer league game in that fourth game or maybe the final game. So maybe you like to see that. And ultimately, I do think, like, especially for like a playmaker, you kind of need to see it with like the regular rotation of guys. What does it look like
sure.
when he's playing next to Ant or Jaden? If you're playing next to Rudy or Nas, like better offensive players, more honed offensive players. So, but yeah, Rob is definitely the person to keep an eye on. I think moving forward, the person that I am very sure of what they are, Terrence Shannon is just, clearly just too good for summer league at this point. I don't think they're going to sit him down or anything, but he's just been the best player on the court. Both of the two games they've played, he's been just, I'm really excited for him to try to get out and transition a lot more. Rob probably included too, cause they were just so bad at that last year. And it's just easy, low hanging fruit is the cliche for that. So, that TJ should continue to be really good at that. We saw both games he's had just monstrous dunk. The one in the most recent game was just right in front of me. So that was awesome for me personally. But the howler foul we got for TJ is Shannon's perimeter shooting is believable. Leo, what do you think?
I'm going howl. He started off super hot in that second game. I think he hit at least like four threes, I think, in that first half. And then cooled down a little bit. But the reason I'm still saying how that I'm buying his perimeter shooting is that he's like looking to get these shots up. I mean, and the fact that he is such a guy that when I was watching, if you remember, they played the Thunder at one point, the regular season game last season. And that was a game that they came back and they won in overtime, that crazy comeback. I recall that my friend who I was watching, who's a close NBA a fan, you know, used to cover the NBA and he's a Thunder fan. He said, like, that guy, Terrence Shannon, like, he has one move. And it's just to drive to the rim as hard as he can. And we kind of laugh, like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of his game. And so you would think that that's what he would do in summer league as well, too. And he did do that quite a bit in the first game. And he was creating advantages for other players. And, you know, he had 9 assists, which is great. Now, in this game, when he was catching him, you couldn't tell he was not immediately looking to drive. He was looking to immediately to shoot. And even though that might not be the best point per shot for him right now, the fact that he's looking to get them up leads me to believe that behind the scenes, he's working on that shot and he's believing in it. And he's trying to get the in-game reps in. And so I do believe that, okay, yeah, he might not shoot 40% this upcoming year, but I think that he has believed to shoot that 35% plus this year, I think is very, very manageable for him. And so I think as long as he doesn't lose focus of who he is, like at his core, I don't want him to, pull a Jaden McDaniels where it's like, all right, you know what? I'm going to just sit in the corner. Like I've been working on my three. I'll just catch it and shoot. Where it's like, no, you're still the best at driving to the rim. So yes, do that. But just understand that balance of like, okay, well, there's still opportunities for you to drive that gap when it's there, but read it that like sometimes driving the gap isn't always the best idea when, you know, you have Rudy hanging out there in the middle of the paint or whatever the case is. Like maybe your best shot is to shoot a three with two defenders coming to close you out late on rotation, creates advantage for Rudy or Julius to get an offensive rebound, put back, right? So I am buying that very much. Are you buying the perimeter shooting, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he was knocking down shots in the West Finals. Pretty yeah. Well, the shot looks good. I just, like you said, obviously the driving game is going to be there. But I just think the spot up shooting game, seems solid enough right now. And if you got both of those things, that's like a great offensive player. And I'm really excited for, what Shannon can do this upcoming season. I think he's just going to be right in the rotation. I think he'll pretty much slide right into Nikhil's minutes. I would guess Rob will slide into kind of Mike's minutes, not all of them, but like let me look up how many minutes Mike played last year to kind of get a sense of how many. I think Mike played 24 and a half minutes per game last year. I'd assume that'd be closer to 22 or to 20. So that leaves a lot of point guard minutes for Rob. And those are the two guys I think that have played the best in summer league. I do think Rob's played fairly well. He's been their creator. The other guy in this summer league team that'll theoretically play is Jalen Clark. I do think Clark will end up being kind of like the some nights they'll play nine, some nights they'll play 10, and he'll end up being like the swing guy. And it would probably depend on matchup for him, I would guess. If there's a team that's got an offensive threat they can throw him on, I think he'll play. And if you're playing, I remember he kind of struggled in one of the Utah games, and it's just like, well, they don't really have anyone to put him on. But the real question is if he can get into like the regular rotation, is his offense. Do you think his defense will be good enough to outweigh any offensive woes and shortcomings he has?
Yeah, I'm going to say foul on this one. I feel that his defense won't be so otherworldly where it will outweigh his offensive woes. Again, this is not me. This is less an indictment on his defense and, more of a concern about his offense, because again, we saw it in the first two games of Summer League so far. Again, Summer League isn't everything. So, you know, we'll say that disclaimer first, but you know, I think Jalen will get his opportunities, but he just seems like he's lacking that consistency now. Like when he was hitting those threes against that Denver game, I mean, I know the commentators on TV were making fun of it, that he's doing kind of like the prayer emoji when he's hitting those threes. And I think it just shows a little bit where he's like, just really, really pushing hard to try and get those threes to fall, as opposed to like naturally shooting them and believing those shots. And so there's that part of it. But the other part of it is that when he was driving to the rim, I mean, still a little bit too careless. There's not enough creativity, in my opinion, where I feel like, you know, he can get there. I don't think he can't get there. I just feel that, you know, last season he showed that, okay, I could hit that three at a reliable clip. Okay, not huge volume, but when I'm open, I'll take him and make it. But he cannot be a one-way player. Like, we cannot have him turn out to be the next Josh Okogie. Like, he has to really meet that next leap that, you know, again, it's very doable for him. I think he will get there. I just, you know, worry that if the shot's not falling, that, yeah, I think Finch will be quick to be like, hey, look, we got Rob, we got Terrence, we have Dante, we have guys that, you know, need minutes right now. There's no reason for me to be spoon feeding you 10 minutes a night, every night, even if your offense isn't going, you're not confident in it. So I definitely need him to, you know, feel a little bit more confident. But what about you? What do you feel about his defense outweighing his offense?
Yeah, I think it will, at least in terms of like the role they're asking him to fill. They just need him to be able to hit enough shots so defenses can't just completely ignore him. And I thought he did some of that last year enough that I think with just even a little bit of improvement that he can be like a quality rotation player. To what extent, maybe in the playoffs, not so much when they kind of shorten the rotations, but like, I just think he'll be able to provide you some solid regular season minutes, and the shot will be good enough to, I don't know if they need him driving to the hoop. I think just knock down open shots at a third of the time. And I think that's ultimately not the worst thing in the world.
I do think that he has a really good like 0.5 mentality though. Like he seems to know like he's not going to hang on to the ball too much. And I think we saw that so far in Summer League too. Mm-hmm. Is that like when he's catching it, he's either shooting it, taking a poor drive, or he's making a quick decision one way or the other. So I do like that about his game for sure.
Yeah, I think he knows his path to minutes are knocking down open shots and playing good defense. And like the 3-and-D kind of label is kind of overused, but for Jalen, it's not. that's what they're going to need him to be. And I thought when he was awarded minutes last year, he was able to do it relatively effectively. And I know other people probably wanted him to play more. But yeah, last of the main Summer League people, Johan Berenger. The first game was just absolutely sensational. Ended up blocking. They did take away the seventh block. He only had six. But either way, like he had three in the first quarter. The first two shots of the games for New Orleans was out there, was slamming down alley-oops, and he had like one little push shot, floater, hook shot type deal. I thought that was a good sign to be able to. Well, maybe we're just so scarred from Rudy, but like to see a big be able to make any little finesse shot was nice. I mean, it's hard not to like be excited for what he can do. He's still a project. He's still young. So I guess the question is how or fouled on Berenger playing some sort of role on the Timberwolves this year.
I'm going to go against the grain on this one. I'm going to say how. because I feel that I might be a little bit more optimistic on Yoan than the average fan probably is, and more so on his developmental curve. I think everyone sees that he's young. He's not even young in age, but young in basketball years. He's obviously got a lot of growing still left to do. So I'm not saying he's ready for a huge minutes right now, but I think he's growing so much faster than I thought. Just kind of game to game, like seeing that, yeah, his stats weren't as good in game two. He wasn't asked to do as much. He didn't block as many shots, but he had a lot of solid rotations. I mean, that boy be looking like Dennis Rodman at the end of the game when he was rebounding those balls. He's going up. His legs are kicking all up in there. But he's making the smart reads. Like, he's making easy little dump offs. The notes I had for him in that game was that, like, he was keeping it very simple. Like, I think that's what frustrates us sometimes about seeing Rudy out there, is that he should keep it simple, but he tries to show off like more than he could probably do, where he's like, come on, give me the ball in the short roll. And yes, he was making good decisions there, but sometimes where he's like, you know what, let me try and finish this play, where it's like, nah, Rudy, you're like 9 feet out from the rim. Don't try and spin and finish this and like throw it off the backboard. You know, it's like, I don't think we see Yoan doing that, because he plays within himself. And so with that said, I do feel like he's going to start in Iowa for sure. He's going to play the majority of his games in Iowa during the tip-off tournament, you know, the first couple months of that season. But I think at the rate that he's growing, I do think that if there's any type of minor injury, or I don't know, Rudy's having twins and he's out, you know, for a week or something like that, I think he absolutely should get an opportunity to play, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, and to play a role. And I think that best case scenario, he's going to show that, okay, yeah, maybe he's not starting, maybe he's not part of the regular front court rotation, but that there's something there. And I think in the pinch, you know, when it comes in that, you know, January through March, you know, stretch of the season where, you know, people are a little bit banged up, or maybe getting easier part of the schedule or whatever that is, like, let's get Yoan in there, because again, you never know when he's a break glass in case of emergency type of dude, where he can defend, you know, two through four probably out there right now. So yeah, I think maybe at some point this season, I'm being optimistic, I'm saying how.
Yeah, I'm going to go foul just in terms of, I don't think it's worth, like, I just don't think he's going to play very much on the big team. Just because they got their three bigs, and I think if one of those three is out, they'll probably just play Jaden at the four and go kind of smaller lineups that way. It's been incredibly encouraging watching him in summer league, and I see the path for him being a really good NBA player, a solid, maybe even starting caliber player. I just think he's just so unbelievably raw. He just hasn't played much basketball, and when a lot of that stuff kind of would start shining through if he were to play in big time games. And I think that's fine. He's like, he's 19, he's spoken English for like 12 months. Like, it's impressive. I think him being around the guys, Rudy especially, not even to learn on court stuff from him, but like, just you're moving to new country.
Piece. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that helps. So I'm excited for what Berenger can do. Just maybe not in the short term for a team with a crowded rotation, but
think speaking of big men, I mean, it's hard to talk about the big men and not talk about Rocco Zakarski. He's hardly played any minutes out there, but he's definitely been the biggest guy when he's been out there. I'm super curious and interested to see him grow in Iowa when he's playing there. Clearly, he has some skills. I mean, we saw it in that second game against Denver. We got to play a little bit more. I mean, he has some passing touch. He has the vision. The physical tools are there. It's hard to ignore. It's kind of similar to Yoan, but different, that it's those simple things that he has to get better at. Boxing out, running the floor hard, be at the right place at the right time, rotating at the right time. You know, those are those different fundamentals that, you know, he doesn't seem to grasp, but he does have maybe some more of the soft skills, whether it's shooting, you know. I mean, granted, Yoan did hit a bunch of free throws. I was like, oh, okay, all right, I see that there. But yeah, I mean, Rocco just seems to have better touch in general on the offensive end of the court. So yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to see that. And I think on the inverse side, the kind of, I don't want to say elephant in the room here, but our buddy Leonard Miller, who's been starting in the summer league games, and it has not been going well, to say the least. I mean, I know in the first game he had, I think it was 20 points and almost double digit rebounds, I believe it was. So the box score numbers are there, but that's never been Leonard's issue, is putting up numbers. His issue has just been playing team basketball, playing with the same enthusiasm that he does on the offensive end that he does on the defensive end. I mean, I think in that Denver game, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, but I think he got benched in that game where he did not see very many minutes in that second half. And because there's plenty of times where it's like he was just kind of hanging his head, you know, when he wasn't getting the ball on offense and wasn't getting back on defense, wasn't rotating correctly. Same thing. He has the physical tools, super long wingspan. He's fast. He can move. You know, he can, in theory, rebound, but I think mentally he's just kind of been stuck in that same gear. So I have been disappointed with how Lenny's been playing so far. It's not over for him. I believe he's 22 right now. So he's still got, you know, maybe a career ahead of him, but he's definitely staring down that barrel of that Josh Minot career arc here, where it's like, all right, man, okay, we get it. You're good enough for the G League to, you know, be named, you know, an all-star for the G League squad, but are you actually good enough to play NBA basketball?
Yeah, it's just hard to find for Lenny, like, what the NBA skill is, or like, what's the specific thing that he's going to be able to, like, oh, that's, he's good at this, he's good at that. I don't think he's necessarily poor in any specific area, but it's just like, I don't know. I struggle to see where the path for him is, but like you said, it's not worth writing him off or anything, but I don't know. I'm not seeing it, at least in the short term. And with Rocco, it's just like, we talk about Berenger being raw, and I think Rocco's just even more of that. That the height's obviously going to play, and it patches over a lot of any other issues, but yeah, the passing has been interesting. Obviously, the any lob threat, he'll be able to go get it, but yeah, he'll be in Iowa, and that'll be something fun to watch for down in Iowa.
How many times, Ryan, did Jalen Clark either air ball a free throw or throw a lob to Rocco Zakarski? And there's like, it's a complete gray area. It's like, did mm-hmm. Jalen airball that shot, or is that a lob? And again, that's just Zakarski's height, right? Where it's just like, all right, well, it doesn't really matter because he's just put it in anyway. So
that's true. Yeah. And he didn't really rebound the ball that well in his, where was he playing? Slovenia? Or no, that was Berenger.
No, he's playing Australia. Yeah.
Correct. So that'll be something to do, and I kind of want them to play him a little bit more in these summer league games, just to kind of see. But I think they're kind of trying to win some of these games, see if they can kind of go chase the trophy. But the second big thing I wanted to talk about is the ownership stuff that happened down in Vegas this last weekend. So on Friday they held a big press conference for everyone, introduced their new ticketing platform, as well as just talked about the team in general. Fans were able to watch that one on the Wolves' social channels. But then after that, myself and a few other the media members got a Minnesota media members had a roundtable with Aaron Laurie, so I got to meet them. Ask them a couple questions along with everyone else, chat with their business people, both for the Wolves and this new ticketing platform called Jump. So I want to talk about that with you. But first, I think you watched the main press conference. What kind of takeaways did you have from that part of it?
Yeah, there were a couple things that popped up. I mean, you mentioned a lot of them, but the main things, I think, they said all the things that new owners are supposed to say. I think, you know, they hit like the PR check boxes where they're like, all right, you said this, make sure you talk about fans, make sure you talk about, you know, pricing and things like that. But my ears really perked up when KG was mentioned, or was asked about, and also about the rebrand. And so I think immediately I'm thinking, well, both of those things maybe be tied together. You know, I think it's wishful thinking to believe that it might happen this season. It's, you know, the turnaround is probably too short at that. But maybe, you know, the 26-27 season, I think that'd be really, really cool. I think that would inject a little bit of life. You know, I remember when the whole new era thing came out in 2017, it was quite interesting because that was when I was actually doing a whole new life change, moving from Northern California to Southern California, and the Wolves are getting new jerseys and they got a new star player, and that player who shall not be named, ending the playoff streak. And so, you know, that was really cool. And so I really think that it should be exciting now as we're kind of moving into new ownership with the Wolves and all the changes they're going to make. So really excited about that. That perked me up. I will say this, like my kind of soapbox rant here is that I think there's a lot of fans who, you know, watch that and they're jaded about ticket prices, about poor ownership decisions have been, you know, been made in the past. And I understand where they're coming from. I understand the hesitancy comes from decades of, you know, just kind of being like, all right, they don't care about us. Like, you know, they're going to make the wrong decision. Oh, a new app, they're just only going to do this to screw us out of more money. So I get that. You know, I'm not disagreeing with that. But I mean, I'm really curious to see. I mean, the proof will be in the pudding. Is Mark Lowry and A-Rod really going to be putting fans and the players first instead of just trying to make a buck? And with that said, are they supposed to be looking at players and fans first instead of making a buck? I mean, they are business owners now, right? I think when I hear cash considerations during the draft, you know, with new owners, it was scary to hear because I'm like, okay, I got that PTSD of when, you know, we had to pay off Kurt Rambis's now dead contract, coaching contract. But I think if, you know, Mark Lowry and A-Rod can prove that they can buy and afford a copy machine, that alone, you know, will hopefully make us feel a little bit better about them financing a new arena. So I think that's kind of my thing is like, hey, look, like, let's, you know, not jump to conclusions on, you know, whether the good side or the bad side. Let's kind of, you know, give them a net neutral to start here. I mean, I think they talked about, obviously, you know, them helping bring, you know, Rudy Gobert here, Tim Connelly in here. I mean, these are decisions that they, you know, theoretically, you know, allegedly pushed really hard for. Those turned out to be great decisions, given the basketball product. So, you know, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I don't want to jump the gun too far either way. The last thing I'll say, Ryan, about this whole, you know, press conference is that I think Mark Spears, ESPN, asked him about being becoming the first Hispanic majority owner in the NBA. And I think for me, I mean, I don't identify as Hispanic. My wife does. But I think it got me thinking because I was like, man, I really hope that A-Rod embraces this. And he has. He's donated to a lot of Hispanic, you know, charities and, you know, different types of foundations. And so I'm really hoping that this doesn't become just a little footnote where it's like, oh, yeah, Gerson Rosas was the first, like, Latino, like, GM in the NBA, you know, where it's like, okay, well, A-Rod's the first, you know, Hispanic owner in the NBA, majority owner. But, like, will he actually put, you know, his mouth, the money where his mouth is, where it's like, okay, are you going to get more involved in Black, Indigenous, people of color communities and finding out ways that they can support them, support the community, champion local efforts? I mean, I think, again, I will harp on this because it's important to me. I mean, I think with all the stuff going on in the government with, you know, the Department of Homeland Security, with ICE, I mean, here in Southern California, we're seeing a ton of people being affected by ICE raids, deportations, all that type of stuff. And it's like, yeah, maybe that's not happening wildly in Minnesota right now, but it's a matter of time that, you know, before that happens. And is A-Rod going to stand up and use the Timberwolves as a vehicle to, you know, help affect social change in a positive way to protect these people? So I think that, I think at my heart is what I care about the most at this point. Like, yes, it'd be great if they won, you know, NBA championship, but if they don't, I want them to at least help people and help people in the right way. So those are the things that kind of popped up to me.
Yeah, that's all well said. I do think that now is when you're going to start seeing a lot of those changes when if they are going to get in the community more and do stuff like that, you're going to see more of it now that they're the main people. But yeah, I just want to provide a little bit more insight to what they said, publicly and to what they said to us on the record, kind of after the press conference. So, I'll just kind of run down the list of stuff I had and let you chime in. So the new ticketing platform is called Jump. It'll replace, fans remember Flash Sheets, that thing's a disaster. And then AXS, or Access, I don't know how to pronounce it, has been the Wolves ticketing platform for the past few years and will continue to be for Target Center if you're going to concerts, there. But for the Wolves this upcoming season, for the Lynx next season, they're going to have this Jump platform. One of the things they talked about it being good is that if you're now going on the Timberwolves ticket app and you click like buy tickets, it'll reroute you to a different site. And now that's all going to be in the app. I think if you want to buy like special, if you want to buy a jersey on the app, you can do that all within. And I'm assuming you pick it up at the team store, or maybe it ships, or you can basically buy like all sorts of fan engagement stuff on there. They didn't quite have details on that yet. The one kind of cool feature they talked about was like, if someone leaves the game early, there's like an auction for that seat and people can like upgrade to buy that seat. And so like the people will like naturally move down to the lower bowl, as seats, like as people leave. So a lot of that stuff, I mean, it kind of goes back to, Glenn. It's like, it's fair to worry about stuff in general, but like the bar is just so low, like to be a better owner than Glenn, or to be have a better ticketing platform than they had, the bar is just so low. And they are co-founders. Mark and Alex are co-founders in this company. I don't know if that affects it. I asked them, and the CEO of this company asked him like, what will the fees be? Because that's just like the main thing I'd be worried about is like the fees of it all. And he was talking about it, and then Mark chimed in and said something like, but we will expect it to be lower. And I don't think they specifically said they haven't set that yet, but the fact that Mark is expecting it to be lower, I would assume. And now that the fees aren't going to a third cut, the money's going to go back to the Wolves. I think that incentivizes them not to gouge people that way. I think this will be a positive, if for nothing else, that it can't be worse, but I think it'll be a solid ticketing platform. They said that it'll go live here. I don't remember if they gave a date, but there'll be some sort of platform that people can try it out, either on the Wolves app or something. So, yeah, I think it's kind of a wait and see, but they were very excited to debut this thing.
Yeah, I think that I've seen quite a few people be frustrated with, oh man, like, you know, they're just gonna try and, you know, gouge us for more money on this whole auction seating, reverse auction seating type thing, right? Where they're like, oh well, you know, they're just gonna try and charge us more for seats even though we already have tickets to the game. It's like, I don't really understand that.
You don't have to buy it.
Yeah, you don't have to move down. They're not forcing you. They're just giving the option where it's like, okay, would you rather them just not allow anyone to, you know, come down? Again, I have no idea how it works, so I'm not going to claim like I understand it fully.
There'd be fair skepticism and be like, yeah, that's just another avenue for them to charge you fees. And that might be fair. It might just be a bad feature. But if you don't like it, just don't use it. I don't like...
Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I'm a little curious about, like, you know, how that's going to work. I think at first when I heard about it, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I mean, like, again, I mean, I'm assuming if they're reverse auctioning, that means that the prices will obviously go down, right? So, like, as the game goes on, it's like, you know, say they're being blown out by, like, 20 points against the Nuggets or something like that. They're down 25 with, like, you know, 2 minutes left. Everyone's gone. You're like, hey, you know what? Like, I've never sat that close to the court before. And it's like, okay, well, it's only $50. If we want to pay $50, we could sit, like, you know, right behind like the stanchion or something like that, where it's like, yeah, I mean, I would try and do that. So I'm personally, I mean, I think it'd be cool. I don't live in Minnesota, so unfortunately I probably won't be able to get to try that unless I go travel over there. But yeah, I think there's always going to be fees. And so I think in, you know, a realistic world where it's like, all right, yeah, if Mark Laurie and A-Rod are, you know, trillion billionaires, and like, okay, well, they would just give out those seats for free, right? By the end of the day, like, they're going to have to charge fees for things. That's just the way business works. Like, you know, this is not, you know, an opportunity where this is just a donation of seats. You know, yes, as fans, yeah, we want that. But, you know, I've seen some, you know, kind of ridiculous suggestions where they're like, oh, well, what about, like, people who've been season ticket holders for more than 20 years? Like, should we get, you know, priority or, like, cheap seats or something like that? Where I'm like, okay, I get the...
They mentioned that one of this platform will be able to do would be able to treat their different level of season ticket holders differently. When if someone like you said, you reward the people that have been with you longest, and you don't ignore the people, like, you need new ticket holders too, but like, you need to, as a business, you need to treat them differently. I think they see the value in like both groups.
Yeah, I can understand that, you know. So again, all that to say that, I mean, I think it's better than just staying at the status quo, right? Of like, all right, we're just not going to do anything. We'll just keep running it back the way it's been done before. And, you know, to be honest, I'm a little surprised that other new ownership groups or, like, you know, other teams, franchises haven't tried something like this, where maybe they have, I just don't know about it. But, you know, it'll be cool to see.
Yeah. The next thing I kind of wrote down is the whole business side of the what they're doing is going to change really fast. They've already brought in their new, like, the new business CEO. They brought in all their new people. They had their jump staff there, obviously. But it's all going to change really fast. Not everything with the arena will change fast. They want to put in new lights at Target Center. They specifically mentioned Madison Square Garden, like the theater lighting, like Staples Center has that too, where Target Center, it's like you're the same, everything is lit the same. And it's been like that since the building opened. And I think arenas nowadays, like, do a better job of making it, like, feel like an atmosphere, feel like extra gravitas on the court. The problem with that is the city of Minneapolis owns the building. And so even if they want to pay for, and it seems like they don't expect the city to pay for their new lights, which, fair enough. But they can't even just pay for them and do it themselves. They have to go to the mayor's office, which I think they were saying might have happened today or like this week. They have this meeting with the mayor's office about being able to install these lights, which I would imagine if the Wolves are willing to pay for it themselves, they'll have no problem convincing the city to do that. But yeah, that's just one of the examples of like them. I just think like the fan experience is going to be totally different. Maybe not next year. Like they weren't sure if they were going to be able to get the lights up there by next Wolves season or if it'll be the year after that. But they also talked about the new stadium. I asked them about that. And I asked them kind of like if they had they didn't really have a specific location picked out, but I asked them about like a lot of these sports teams build like out there in LA Live, where there's restaurants and shops and all sorts of stuff. And A-Rod mentioned he's going out to the All-Star baseball stuff. Atlanta, the Braves have specifically a really nice entertainment area, with all sorts of, it's the best example of it. And so real estate is downtown is cheaper than it was pre-pandemic, just given kind of the, so I don't know if they're going to be, it sounded like they've gone back and forth with doing some sort of downtown thing with that. They view the getting a new stadium as like a necessity. There is a bottom line business that they need to be able to be. And with the current stadium setup, I don't think they can do that. Location wise, it's just hard to see. It seems like they're going back and forth between like downtown. I don't think full on suburbs, but like there's a difference between like Minnesota listeners know where like this, it's St. Paul, but like where the soccer stadium is, isn't like downtown St. Paul. While the Saints and the Wild are, I don't know if they look at like that type of location. I don't like the, one thing I saw researching this was the Clippers are the only arena that isn't in their city proper. Every single NBA arena is in the city proper, and the Clippers arena is in Brentwood right next to the airport. So even saying they're not technically in Los Angeles is a bit of a like,
right.
They are like, yeah. They're the stadium is closer to LAX than Staples Center is, but it like, so like every stadium is in Minneapolis. So for them to go full on suburb would be unprecedented basically.
Yeah, I think of all the things you talked about, I mean, I think the new stadium, you know, obviously be, many, many years in the making type of thing. But with the lighting thing, I think it's kind of a power move by them, to be honest, because that's telling me if they're willing to dim the lights there, they're not afraid of someone coming out and trying to glue themselves to the court or chain themselves up. It's like, you know, the dim court. Then it's like, hey, look, we believe our fans are not going to do live protests on the court. No, but I think that'll be exciting. I mean, I don't really know how I feel about the dim court. I get that's kind of cool. I've been to more Laker games, I probably want to admit. Not for the Lakers ever, but, you know, it's a cool atmosphere. You know, I think is there going to be like Celebrity Row, you know, that type of stuff. That'll be cool. For those of you who are not familiar with what LA Live is, if you've been to Las Vegas, maybe, there's something called Fremont Street where it's kind of like, it's like an open outdoor. There's like, you know, little places for people to do like bands to perform, you know, a lot of shopping centers, a lot of kind of pop up like food type of joints, you know, things like that. So it's kind of cool little like tiny, tiny mall, like outdoor mall kind of thing like that. So I think that's kind of what they're referring to there. So, yeah, you know, I am curious to see, you know, how long all of this will take, because I'm usually of the thought that things move very, very slowly. But, you know, I think it's good that they're talking about it. We'll see what actually kind of passes through to fruition, makes it through the red tape.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what they're going to do, but I think the basketball side is probably more interesting, but also I don't think much is going to change there. They hired good people and they're going to let them do their job. And I think that's been the biggest thing that people should take away from the past 4 years is I don't think they're going to be meddling in on the basketball side. Obviously they're going to have some level of say I think it's like, that's fine. But like, I don't think they're going to be going in there. We need to make this big trade. I think if they wanted to do that, Kevin Durant would have been a bigger discussion. But like they're just not going to do that. And maybe they would have, but like this last, what is it, 4 years? They've been in limbo, two of which have been since Glenn like rug pulled the team, or a year and a half for that. I think like the learning on the job thing has helped them, especially with like you talk about the community. I think they've learned a lot about like Minnesota and the Wolves and like all that in the last few years. And I just think they're ready. I get people's like hesitance, especially like Alex Rodriguez locally is not a well-liked athlete, especially like baseball fans, Twins fans. Like,
how awkward was it when I think it was Mark Lurie or whoever it was that says like, you know, Mark Lurie or, you know, A-Rod has like a sterling reputation or something like that. Was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I mean, sure. What the other thing that stood out talking to them was like, I think they are like, they're really invested in like the team winning. They're fans just as much as anything else. I think like it hurts them when like it hurts us when the team loses. A-Rod said something to that effect and I kind of bristled. I'm like, dude, you were my sports pain. Like that was you, man. But I don't think they're going to come in and slash payroll. I really don't. I think they see the long view on it. Them coming in and slashing payroll would hurt their bottom line. Maybe not in the short term, but like in the long term, that'd be tough. They want to win. They see this as, they mentioned this as being like a venture capital thing where like you're pouring in money with the expectation to lose money. I don't know how long that is sustainable, but it's fair for people to be concerned. I just personally am not seeing it with them. And until they got to put their money where their mouth is. And toward the end of the thing, they kind of asked us like, what should we do? Or what do we think they should do if we were them? And people mentioned like just being transparent. The TV situation is a big thing. Not everyone can get access to the TV, but I just think like, there's just a stigma around the Timberwolves as fans. And even the last 2 years has helped as much as anything, but like it is not the difference between like the ingrained generations of fan base with the Twins, the Vikings, and the Wild is just hockey fans more than obviously like the Wild are relatively new, but and they just replace the North Star fans are just the Wild fans. But like those three fan bases are so much more ingrained in the city than the Wolves are. Despite the past 4 years, 5 years, the Wolves have had the best success out of any of them. The Minnesota sports team has never made the conference finals back to back years.
Yes.
Correct. Men's. We will talk about the Lynx, but that is a fair, men's specifically. And unfortunately, it's not fair, but the Lynx don't have the same cultural hold. Well, I should rephrase that. They do. It's just with a smaller section of people.
Yeah, that could be a larger conversation about the lack of support in women's sports, no matter where you are. But yes,
I agree. I tend to agree, and we will talk about the Lynx here in a sec. But I just the best thing they can do is to one succeed in winning, but short of that, try to win. Don't like if they were to cut payroll, that'd be a really bad look. If they start gouging fans on the business side, that's not going to be a really good look. People are skeptical of them. You've voiced that a lot, and I think it's fair to be worried about that. I just from everything they've said, their main goal is to win basketball games. There's obviously a business bottom line and there's a business side of them that you can maximize like the ticketing app or like just trying to make be a more efficient business or whatever that is almost separate from the like they're trying to maximize their revenue that way. But the one place I don't think they're going to try to maximize revenue is with the roster. I think they're going to be willing to spend. They're not in the second apron this year because like of the rules. It's not because of the cash. They're going to be in the luxury tax again. They're going to pay a large bill for that. I think there's obviously a business bottom line. I don't think that they're going to come in and start doing crazy stuff, at least on the basketball side. And maybe the business side people won't like, but you'd kind of take that trade off. At least we got good basketball.
Yeah. I mean, I think as far as basketball wise and them as owners, it's almost kind of a low bar when you think about who he's taking over and like the blunders that Glenn Taylor made. Like, again, Glenn Taylor's done some good things for the Wolves. He's done some great things with the Lynx. But I mean, even I think about here in California, I mean, I see every day basically on my timeline how Sacramento Kings fans and media members feel about Vivek Ranadive and him owning the team. You kind of see the circus that is the Buss family. And obviously they recently made a big change over there. But just how mismanaged the whole Lakers ownership situation was. I mean, with even Donald Sterling, who, you know, obviously is no longer in the picture anymore, but like, you know, there's a very low bar of like what owners could do to suck. And all I'm asking and hoping, and I hope fans also take this into consideration, is like, just don't be like the shittiest owners ever, please. Like, just please, yeah. You know, hire good people, stay out of the way. You don't have to, you know, yes, all these other new bells and whistles would be cool. You know, ticketing platform, stadium, lighting. Like, yeah, that's great for fan experience. I get it. But it's also like, just don't fuck it up, I think is the biggest thing.
And my point would be like, what have they done the past 4 years that would like, they've done all the right moves in my mind, like, or at least like, maybe not, obviously you can play the results on XYZ move, but like fair, like reasonable moves. I don't see a, like something that they've done that you'd be like, well, that was clearly terrible. I at least I don't see it. So I just think like I said, they're going to try to win, and they're not going to meddle with the basketball side. And that kind of brings us to the Lynx. I asked them specifically about the Lynx. I asked them like, what level is there, because the Lynx have been so successful, is there a different like handling of them that you do? And first, like Mark just gave praise to what they were doing. They were 18-3 at the time. Like Fee's probably going to win MVP. Like they're just excited about that, and said Cheryl's the, like basically the best coach in the W. Tend to agree there. And then Alex just mentioned like, yeah, the basketball side, we're not touching that. Cheryl's awesome. He's like, we'll support them. What, like if they need help with a free agent or like any and all the support they need, we're there for them. But in terms of like, they're not going there. I really hope Lynx fans, especially I can imagine the Lynx fans are like, these are like, they're very clearly like Wolves first. Like they've kind of shown to that in a certain extent, that's fine. But like, I really want to like, I hope Lynx fans know, I don't think they're going to be screwing around with the basketball side. The business side, they're going to overhaul that like they are with the Wolves. Will that be good or bad? I think I would tend to kind of, it's the same thing. Like it's hard to be worse. But I think with the Lynx, I really, and I think it carries over to the Wolves too. Like I do think they're not going to meddle in the basketball side. The business side is will probably get a overhaul job. But I just hope Lynx fans know, like, I think nothing's going to change. Shale's going to run the team like she has been, and they're going to keep winning basketball games.
Yeah, I think that's good to know, or to hear at least from your side of it. I mean, being able to hear straight from their mouths. I'm in a couple of Lynx group chats on various social media platforms. And I mean, I think they've all been, you know, obviously a little bit skeptical because they have a different view of Glenn Taylor as an owner than Wolves fans did of Glenn Taylor. And so, yeah, I mean, I really hope that, you know, they, again, do what they say they're going to do, is that they're going to allow the Lynx kind of run as is. Yes, on the business side, there might be some changes, hopefully for the better, but nothing that will affect the basketball side of it. I would love to see them at more games. I know that's something for sure that's kind of been a point of contention amongst Lynx fans, is that, you know, yeah, I mean, you saw, you know, A-Rod and Mark Laurie with their shoes off at all these, you know, Timberwolves games, but like, how often did you see them at Lynx games? It's like, okay, well, you saw A-Rod at like one playoff game or whatever the case was. You know, I want to see them both there as well too, because again, sometimes proof is, you know, and support is showing up. Like you can't just say it and be like, oh, well, we're doing this stuff on the back end and we're attending all the Wolves games. We're not really going to any Lynx games. So I really hope that, you know, they show up and make themselves visible on that end as well too. Like reach out to those fans, talk to those fans as well too. You know, let's get a beat going for, you know, the Minnesota Lynx. I think that's something that's kind of interesting, where it's like, obviously Glenn Taylor had the Star Tribune, right? So you had Chris Hine, you had those guys kind of covering the Wolves. And, you know, I assume they will still continue to cover the Wolves because Glenn Taylor's still kind of involved. But, you know, what, you know, that would be a great way to get, you know, the Lynx involved, and whether it's in their own publication or whatever media, like having a Lynx beat writer as well, too, would be really great. Will I put my name in there? Maybe. But no matter what happens, I was, you know, yeah, let's sell the links more. I mean, you talk about, you know, that earlier where it's, oh yeah, this is kind of known as the Vikings and, you know, Stars and Twins, you know, that type of thing. And you know, what about the Wolves? It's like, well, what about the Lynx? They're by far the most successful, you know, Minnesota sports franchise of any of them out there. And so I'm not from Minnesota. I'm not a Minnesotan, but I am an avid supporter of women's sports, and especially what they've been doing with the Lynx in terms of them, both on and off the court. And so I would love to see them kind of bring them to the forefront a little bit more. Like, don't make them a cool little footnote, like, oh, the Wolves won, but you can go watch the Lynx. Like, no, it's like, let's go watch the Lynx, and if they don't win, okay, let's go watch the Wolves, right? Or it doesn't have to be a or it could be an and, you know, let's bring them up together. So yeah, would love to see that. Love to see what the Lynx are doing, and what they do with them as well.
Yeah, I too hope that they can be a little bit more involved with the Lynx. Well, I guess the first the playoffs are, like, we're halfway through the season, so I bet you they'll start showing up to some of those games. Alex is the official, like, governor of the Lynx, while Mark has the Wolves. So you'd at least like to see Alex there if he's the official governor, but...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and plus, I mean, they both talk about having daughters, you know, right? It's like, yeah, bring them to the game. I'm sure they would love to go.
Yep. Lastly, I kind of had, you mentioned the KG rebrand kind of stuff. John Krasinski asked them about that. They didn't really have firm stuff, but they said, like, they understand. They said this a lot, like, if it's important to our fans, it's important to us. They said that multiple times, I think, in the main presser and the kind of the side pressers too. I believe them. I think they see, like, they talked about, they know, like, that Kevin Garnett era is really important to people. And I don't know if I would expect the rumor of the Black Trees coming back. I would expect that'll probably happen, but as in a full scale rebrand, I don't think that'll be happening this upcoming season. But now, once they get a full year with their business people, I think, like, next summer, 12 months from now or so, maybe they start to do that. But as far as KG coming back, I don't know if that's imminent, but like they said, if it's important to the fans, it's important to them. Well, I think Kevin Garnett, I don't know if people need to have him in a role, but you got to get his jersey up there in the rafters, and it'd be nice to get him to some big games.
Yeah, I think that is something that's not too much to ask for. I think it's a non-zero chance that they can get him back into the fold. I mean, you can't say the same when Glenn Taylor was in the fold, because we know that's a beef that goes into the blood, you know, a little bit between him and Glenn Taylor. So yeah, I really, really hope that they can bring him back. You can use connection as, you know, superstar athletes in that same era. Yeah, I just hope to see KG involved in it. I follow KG pretty closely so on social medias, and he's very active. He posts some funny things on there. If you want a good follow Kevin Garnett on Instagram on his stories. But, you know, every now and then he'll say something about the Wolves. And he's been a little bit quiet recently, which kind of leads me to believe that maybe there's some, you know, I don't know if there's any discussions going on, you know, underneath the back end, but hopefully we'll see. So I'm excited. New ownership is always exciting, and I think right now it's kind of that sticker shine, so we'll see how many of these things come true and how long it takes.
Yeah, well, honestly, if people have any questions based on really anything, you can shoot them my way. I have an hour of transcript that I could try to dig through and find a specific answer about any question that you may have had. I feel like I forgot to kind of ask about the TV situation kind of to them. I wish I would have remembered to ask that, because that's a big deal with people not having access. Although I think FanDuel does offer just a straight, you can pay money and stream all the games, which is better than some other teams. We can go into our two words to kind of wrap up this episode. My two words are time off. It kind of feels like now the NBA season from last year ended. You go right from the finals into the draft, into Summer League, and Summer League ends, I guess, in a week. But when Summer League ends, it's really like 6 weeks to almost 2 months of pretty much nothingness. So to me, it's like coming back from Summer League now is finally like the time where the time is off. We get to relax. I'll watch some baseball, watch the Lynx here a lot. But as far as the Wolves, it's kind of the doldrums of the off season. So we get some time off, probably after another long playoff run, some needed time off, and we'll come back in what, like late September, for some preseason stuff. But yeah, Leo and I will have some off-season content, but obviously it'll slow up, and I have some fun interviews planned throughout the summer. But yeah, Leo, your two words.
Well, speaking of playoff runs, the Wolves right now in Summer League are one of 9 teams that are still undefeated right now. As we're recording right now, it looks like the Kings will be moving up to 3-0. And then there's a couple other 3-0 teams in there. And so those of you who do care about this type of stuff and trying to raise a banner, even if it's a Summer League banner, the Wolves do have to probably win out, and they'll probably have to win out by a lot with their point differential. So we'll see what happens. I think they play another potentially undefeated team, or they do play 2-0. Pistons tomorrow, so that are on Monday, sorry, Tuesday, when you're listening to this recording, probably. But back to my two words, though. My two words is enjoy basketball. We all love basketball. That's why you're listening to this. That's why Ryan and I are here. We love basketball, so I think we should enjoy it. And for those of you who didn't see, Ricky Rubio did do an interview recently in the last couple weeks in Spain, and it made some headlines because he was scrutinizing the NBA experience, not just for himself, but also just in terms of what he saw it becoming. To essentially boil down to him saying that he felt like the NBA lost its focus on the basketball. It was a little bit too focused on like the business and the show of basketball, and like, you know, you're like, they're kind of dehumanizing it a little bit. And that, when he did a interview with a reporter when he was with the Wolves, that he talked about how he was going through some tough times, obviously with his family and just a transition to another country. And other players came up to him in the games and told him like, hey man, like, don't let them show weakness, because once we see that, we're gonna come after you. And he was like, dude, like, I'm just a person. Like, I'm just trying to exist, and you're out here trying to like demonize me, you know, for just being honest. And I would say I largely agree with them. You know, I don't think that things will change, because that's just how it is. It's about the clicks. It's about the social media. That's just what it is. It's too late to change that. We're not going to go back to, you know, the purest basketball league, you know, type of thing. But I think with all that said, let's try to enjoy the basketball that we have, that we're watching right now, whether it's summer league, whether it's preseason, whether it's the regular season, even the playoffs that we've finally been able to enjoy for the last 2 years straight, making it so far. And I think that I would hope, and I'm not telling fans how to fan, but like my kind of plea, hopefully, is that, you know, all fans out there, like, can we just please stop focusing so much on cap sheets and future draft picks and, you know, oh, how's a player's legs look when he's shooting a jump shot? Or like, you know, oh, we're not as good as the Thunder because, we have Julius Randle and he's not going to be able to play against the Thunder. Like, okay, sure, you can have your discussions on that, but can we just all please enjoy the basketball? We've had good basketball out there that's been on our plate. And again, Ryan and I and most of you have been fans of the team long enough to know what it was like when we couldn't enjoy the basketball. Where it was like, okay, well, let's see what funny thing happens when, you know, Derek Williams is going up for a mud run through the paint with like 10 guys in it. So, enjoy the fun players we have. Enjoy the fun basketball. That's my two words.
Yeah, I think that's great. And that kind of one last thing from the ownership thing is like, they mentioned like no one cares about the owners. No one cares about, they just want to like see the team win, have fun. That's what people care about. And so I think that like the new ownership would agree with you. Like, let's actually enjoy some basketball. So much of like the just crapping on people and certainly the businesses as the billion dollar teams continue to grow in value. It's just, we all enjoy the basketball of it, and some of the business stuff is fun too, but like you said, we'll get to some basketball here. Well, not soon, but eventually. So go watch the W as the Lynx continue to dominate over
100%,
there.
100%. Watch the Lynx.
All right, but that's where we're going to wrap up for this one. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Get home, drive safe.
Go Wolves.
Ayoo!